This year, Pesach falls out on Shabbos, as you are aware, because that makes for a really nice Chol HaMoed. And there's a sefer that came out this year called Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos. Rabbi Volzim did make fun of me for buying this sefer. How do you write a whole sefer on Pesach that falls out on Shabbos? A good kasha, but someone managed, and he wrote a whole sefer on Pesach that falls out on Shabbos. We'll try to get 10 minutes out of Pesach that falls on Shabbos. Generally speaking, Pesach that falls on Shabbos is much like Pesach that falls on any other day. So I'm going to try to focus on the differences between Pesach that falls on Shabbos and Pesach falls on any other day. The first time is the only Talmudic difference that I know of. I mean, the only time the Gemara actually discusses that something is going to be different because Pesach is on Shabbos is the Gemara is very special to me, actually, personally. The first Gemara I ever learned outside of a classroom on my own, and don't ask me why, but was Psachim Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, the very beginning of Perek Tamin Nishchat. The Mishnah talks about when a person is supposed to shecht the Karban Tamid throughout the year, and when a person is supposed to shecht the Karban Tamid on Erev Pesach, and when a person is supposed to shecht the Karban Tamid, specifically when Erev Pesach is also Erev Shabbos. Why is the Karban Tamid have a different time for Shechita on these different days? Because generally speaking, there's something called the Aseda Shlama, which means that the Karban Tamid has to be the last Karban you bring each day. So that's the bookmark that ends the Karbanos of that day. But the Karban Pesach is brought after the Karban Tamid. So when on a normal day, we try to bring the Karban Tamid really late, 9.5 hours into the day. But when it's also Erev Pesach, when we have to bring the Karban Pesach, so we'll push back the Karban Tamid a little bit in order to accommodate the Karban Pesach. And when Erev Pesach falls out on Erev Shabbos, where you're going to have to cook the Karban Pesach also, not just shech the Karban Pesach, but you're going to have to cook the Karban Pesach on Erev Shabbos. So everything's going to have to get done before Shabbos. We push the Karban Tamid back even earlier, 6.5 hours into the day. So why does that matter at all, la halacha? So the truth is, for the most part, it doesn't. But there is a machlokas rishonim, when is the ideal time to daven mincha? So some rishonim say, daven mincha at any time, after a half hour after chatzos, until the end of the day. Whenever is kosher to bring the karmat amid, it's kosher to daven mincha. The tefilos are connected tmidim tiknum. They relate to the karbanos. So you could daven mincha whenever you want. But there is a minority view in Rishonim that holds that one is supposed to daven mincha specifically at the ideal time to bring the Karban Tamid, and the ideal time to bring the Karban Tamid is what we call Mincha Ketana, 9.5 hours into the day. So some of the poskim suggest, if Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes, Rabbi Savlovsky mentioned this, this is the only halacha he mentioned in his shir about Pesach falls on Shabbos, Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes from, forget who he said he quotes from, but he quotes from somebody, from Chaim Berlin, I think he said, that if you're generally makbid to davka daven mincha, and mincha ketana, because you want to daven at the ideal time of the Karban Mincha, but when Erev Pesach falls out on Erev Shabbos, meaning when Pesach falls on Shabbos, and Erev Pesach is therefore Erev Shabbos, the ideal time for the Karban Tamid is actually earlier, and therefore you could have a Mincha Gedolah that day, as a L'chadchila, even if you're generally makbid about that. Have you ever met anyone who's makbid about that? Probably not. So that's not the most relevant thing, lahalacha. More relevant, lahalacha, Friday night davening. Why do we say Vayichulu typically after Shemoneh Esrei and Friday night davening? So for those who learned Maseches Pesachim last year, Tosfos in the 10th Parak of Maseches Pesachim says that the reason we say Vayichulu every Friday night, even though you just said it in Shemoneh Esrei, is because every once in a while, Yom Tov and Shabbos coincide with each other, and then you don't say Vayichulu in Shemoneh Esrei, but you want to be Mekadesh B'Tfilah, so we say Vayichulu after Shemoneh Esrei, because we didn't get it in the Shemoneh Esrei. And once we do it, when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, so we do it every Shabbos. We say Vayichulu after Shemoneh Esrei every Shabbos. So the most important day, the most important Friday night to say Vayichulu after Shemoneh Esrei is this Friday night, because this is what it's really all about. It's about when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos. Now, there is a question in Poskim whether Vayichulu should come before Halel or Halel should come before Vayichulu if you're going to do both. If you're in a shul, the minhag is that they say Halel on Pesach night, so do you do that before or after Vayichulu? On the one hand, you would say Tadir Vashenu Tadir Tadir Kodem, and therefore Vayichulu should come first. On the other hand, Halel is a mitzvah d'oraisa, Vayichulu is not. So maybe the that which is a more important mitzvah should come first. On the other hand, on the third hand, it may only be a minhag to say Halel on the Seder night after Maariv, so it, even though Halel in its own right is a mitzvah d'oraisa, but dafka saying halal then may not be a mitzvah d'oraisa. I think the minhag is that we pass in the chalchila that we do vayichulu first, that we say vayichulu, and then those who say halal say halal. If you mess up the order, if the shul didn't know, or they already said the bracha on the halal before they said vayichulu, okay, nishkeverlich, so then you go the other way. Then you say halal, and you'll get to vayichulu afterwards. Most do not say magin avos, because magin avos is only for mazikin. We mentioned yesterday that Lel Pesach is a Lel Shimurim, the Chumash tells us. It's a night of protection, so we don't have to worry about the mazikin. I mean, the whole point of adding that extra paragraph after the Shemona Esrei was because we didn't want people to be left alone in dangerous areas out in the middle of nowhere, so as a way of delaying the davening or extending the davening a little bit to make sure that people have a chevra when they walk home, they added that extra paragraph. But we don't have to worry about that on the Lel Shimurim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us on the night of the Seder. Fine, so that's in davening. Then we come home on Friday night and we have to say Kiddush. Now Kiddush, typically speaking, is a wonderful mitzvah that we do every Yantif. But on Pesach, it's not just a mitzvah, it's not just the mitzvah of Kiddush on Yantif, it's also a mitzvah of Dalit Kosos. In fact, there's Machlokas, Magen Avraham and Taz, why it is that we have to say Kiddush after Tzeis HaKochavim on the night of the Seder. Shulchan Aruch says you have to say Kiddush Dafka after Tzeis HaKochavim. Is it because Kiddush B'makom Su'uda, because of the mitzvah of Kiddush, you have to say it at a time where you theoretically could be Yotzei the mitzvah of Matzah, which is your Su'uda? Or is it because Kiddush in its own right is the Kiddush is not just a mitzvah of Kiddush, it's also the first of the Dalet Kosos, and all of the mitzvahs halayla have to be after Tzeis HaKochavim? But when Pesach falls on Shabbos, there's a third mitzvah. It's not just Kiddush on Yantif, and it's not just Dalet Kosos. You're actually being Yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos as well. Now, the mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Dalet Kosos is only a mitzvah midrabanan. Kiddush on Yantif, Pashtus is only a mitzvah midrabanan. The Rambam seems to say that there's a mitzvah of Kiddush on Yantav midaraisa as well, even though the Torah only tells us about Shabbos, but the Rambam says Yantav is also called Shabbos. But generally speaking, we paskin Kiddush on Yantav is drabanan, Talakos drabanan, Kiddush on Shabbos daraisa. That means that the Kiddush this Friday night becomes a more important Kiddush. So what? That it's a more... I was going to say it anyway. So what difference does it make that it's a more important Kiddush? So you add the few psukim at the beginning about Shabbos, you know, to get you psyched up for Shabbos, which are nice. But what nafkamina la'alacha? So Mishabru writes that there, as you're well aware, there are different shiurim for different mitzvahs. That when one wants to eat matzah, one has to make sure that they eat a kezayis of matzah. When you eat mara, you eat a kezayis of mara. When you drink dalet kosos, you're supposed to drink a revius or a rov revius. You're supposed to have a kosos or a revius and drink a rov revius. And there are many machlokos in the poskim about how to measure these different shiurim. How big is a kezayis? How big is a revius? So Mishmura writes in several places that whenever you're dealing with a din d'rabbanan, you can always go smaller. Always assume like the more makel opinions in terms of the shiur. But when you're dealing with the din d'oraisa, then you got to go bigger. Then you have to be a little more machmir in the shiur. So if typically your kiddush cup on the night of the seder might be grach na shiur of a revius, you may want to go with a ramesh or maybe even a chazanish shiur of a revius when it comes to the kiddush, which is a kiddush of Shabbos, since now it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's questionable whether that's really true, though, because it is a mitzvah d'oraisa to make Kiddush on Shabbos, but the mitzvah d'oraisa does not require Kiddush ala kos. The mitzvah d'oraisa just requires, Rabbi Kiva Eger writes in Shulchan Aruch, the mitzvah d'oraisa just requires saying Shabbat Tava, good Shabbos, or Shabbos is good, and then you're already Yotzei. So it's not so clear why that's the case, that the Mishnah Berurah thinks we need to be machmir on this issue. But anyway, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Another issue that could come up is if one forgot to make salt water in advance of the Seder. There is a Mishnah Masechah Shabbos Daf Kuf Ches that says that one is not allowed to make a large amount of salt water, a large quantity of salt water on Shabbos, only a small quantity. This is Shitas Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, is that it doesn't make sense to be mechalik between a large amount and a small amount, but he says it's also to make any amount, but we paskin not that way. We hold that making a large amount is aser, but making a small amount is mutter. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Shin Chaf Aleph Si'if Beis, that a small amount of salt water is mutter. What's the reason? What's the problem? Says Machlokas Rishonim. Rashi and Tosafos say that it's similar to ma'abed. to tanning. Okay, you have to figure out exactly why it's similar to tanning. The Rambam says that it's doma labishul, that a very salty solution can change the quality of a food, and therefore it's doma labishul if it's extraordinarily salty. Shulchan Aruch in Shin Chav Aleph Siv Gimel says that you're not allowed to salt things. It says not to make very strong salt water, even if it's small quantities. So you're allowed to make only a small amount of salt water, and even then it shouldn't be so strong. How strong is so strong? About two-thirds salt, one-third water. That's too strong. So you're not allowed to make that on Shabbos. Another thing that we have to be aware of, Shulchan Aruch says, Mishnah Berurah says that you're not allowed to have salt water that you're making for an extended period of time. Only what you're going to use on that Shabbos, and we pass in that way la halacha as well. So essentially, if you forgot to make the salt water before Shabbos, so you have this additional issue that you have to keep in mind of exactly how to make the salt water to dip your karpas and to dip your egg, if you have that minhag of dipping an egg on the night of the Seder. Another issue that could come up is the zroa. There is a minhag that we put a zroa on the Seder plate. A zroa, we take a roasted shank bone and put it on the Seder plate. What if you forgot to roast the shank bone? So if it's just a regular yantif, so you roast it on yantif. You're allowed to cook on yantif. But if it's Shabbos, you're not allowed to roast on Shabbos. So what do you do? So you'd say, okay, so just put it on the plate without roasting it. But if it's not even cooked, if it's neither cooked nor roasted, then it's muktzah on Shabbos. Raw meat is muktzah on Shabbos because it has no use. You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. So then you wouldn't even be allowed to put it on your Seder plate. So you'd have that problem as well. So you got to make sure you take care of these things beforehand. Charoses, again, you should make it before Shabbos. If you didn't make it before Shabbos, then you could have a problem of have a potential problem of grinding. The ingredients have to be ground up. It's tochein, and a potential problem of lush, of kneading it together. So to get around grinding, we have to cut in chatichos gedolos into larger pieces. Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Chav Aleph Sif Yud Beis. Bir Alach over there says he's not sure how large is, but you'd have to cut it into larger chunks, not into tiny little pieces. And in order to avoid the isra of lush, you would need to make it a very liquidy charoses. A lot of wine, and make a blila raka, maybe even mix with your finger instead of mixing with a spoon. That could be a problem. Similarly, when it comes to the tochein problem, you could have a problem with marar. If you didn't grind your horseradish, if you use real maror, if you use lettuce, which is the real maror, then you don't have this problem. Then you just eat the lettuce. But if you use the secondary or third, whatever, I forgot what number it is on the list, the third best maror, the horseradish, so then you need to grind it up in order to eat it, but you're not allowed to grind things on Shabbos. So you would have to cut it up into chunks in order to eat it. But that raises a whole other problem, because then it could be that it doesn't even require a bracha, it's not even roi la'achila, if it's in chunks. It's a machlokas in the poskim. Do you dafka have to have it in chunks, because once you grind it up, it loses its bar priya adama status, or do you dafka have to grind it up, because if it's in chunks, it's not even edible, it's not even a human, it's not something a human being would ever eat. Sometimes you'll see an old European yid who will, like, you know, bite the horseradish, like the horseradish root. It's crazy. It's like, but you know, they've been through worse in life usually than that, so they're made of different stuff. Suda shlishis is also an issue. Forgetting about the Seder moving forward, the third meal of Shabbos is an issue, because generally speaking, one is not supposed to eat matzah. The Rama says you should even be mema'it, how much matzah you eat, on the first day of Pesach, if you live in Chutz Lars where you need to make a second Seder. Just like it's usher to eat matzah on Erev Pesach because of the Seder, because we want to be able to eat matzah l'te avon, you should minimize what you eat on the first day in terms of matzah so that you'll be ready to eat that night. So if you have to have shalashudas though, so you have to, if you're makbid generally to wash for shalashudas, so you could be makbid, Shari Tshuva writes in some Tavayin Aleph, you could be makbid to wash and have a proper shalashudas with matzah on the first day of Pesach, because it's Shabbos, and that's a mitzvah d'orais of shalashudas, that would outweigh any minag of not eating matzah. Then of course, at the second Seder, you have Yaknahaz, which is a very unusual situation, where you say the bracha bar b'yagafen, and then Kiddush, and then Ner, Bari Mori Eish, then Avdallah, And then Zman, then the bracha of Shechianu. So you have all of these. You're not supposed to make a bracha on Besamim when you go from Shabbos into Yantiv, or from Shabbos Yantiv into Yantiv, but you do have Yak Nahas. So there are a lot of other things that that come up over the course of the day. For the most part, Pesach is a regular Pesach, and if you do all the preparations in advance the way you're supposed to, it should be pretty, things should run fairly smoothly. Okay.